All the way up from Pleasure Ridge. Well, that sure was the rightful introduction, because Doug asked me what the title to my message was this morning, and I just said, well, I'm not sure, but it's either going to be from here to there, or I said, you know what, it's really going to be from there to here. So it's going to be my testimony intertwined with some teaching of the Word, all the way from Michigan. And it took us then 40 years to get to Louisville. Now you might ask, well, what took you so long? Well, we had a lot to do in those 40 years, and I'm going to share that with you. And what I was worried the most about when Reed asked me to share this morning was the microphone. Okay? The last time I was up sharing anywhere, the microphone was like right here, you know, and you kept on moving it around. And it's just kind of weird to be just talking, and there it is. You know, it's like, wow, this is cool. Yeah, yeah. Feel like a young person again. So, and I, you know, named the title from there to here, because when you've lived in 20 different houses, and of course, the result of that is having 20 or so different jobs. It is quite a journey. And I always thank the Lord for my wife, who has moved with me, of course. And she's still here. So my message is also going to have 5 points, and it's going to be talking about God drawing me, the joy of salvation, doubt, and then growing in Him and abiding in Him. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my testimony starts pretty early, from maybe 8 years old or so. I was reading the Bible a lot. Now, why was I reading the Bible a lot? Well, I don't know, okay? I grew up in a Lutheran church, and one of the things about the Lutheran church is they, especially, there's different synods, of course. We were in the Wisconsin Synod, which is the more conservative synod, and they presented the gospel, but you weren't encouraged to do anything with it. So I knew about Jesus died for my sins. I knew that he was God and so on and so forth. But every Sunday, the pastor would forgive us of our sins. So I looked forward to every Sunday to have my sins forgiven. I didn't know I could have a personal relationship with him. So when that part of the sermon came up, or the hymnals that we would do a certain part of our hymnals, and when that part come up, oh, I just felt so good. But by the end of Sunday, I had a lot more sins piled up. So I had to go through all the week then to get to the next Sunday. So but I found myself through that reading the Word of God. And that verse, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God started opening my ears to have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I started to really seek God. What is, you know, I'm confused about God. So the Holy Spirit continued to work on me, continued to encourage me, to continue to seek Him. And as time went on, I ended up meeting my wife, Lori, at 14 years of age. I was 16. We started going together in high school. And we had our rocky times, but we ended up getting married in 1976, and that started kind of the journey for me in a big way, because the Lord then started to direct my paths, although He was directing them, and to meet Lori and so on and so forth. But I had my own plans, and in Proverbs 16:9 it says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his paths. And that is so special to me. That's one of my favorite verses right now, is because as I make plans and I start walking through those plans and God changes them, I'm at peace and comfort with that because I know God has directed me in the right direction. So even with all these moves that we made, and I look back and say, what was it all about? I remember all those times where, oh yeah, the guy on the train, God had me worship too. Oh yeah, the couple that stayed in our home who needed a place to stay. And I remember, oh, the Bible study we had here. So there was many things along the journey that God wanted us to do. Didn't see it at the time, but now as you look back, you see all these things. God directing our paths. Well, the journey started with, like I said, I'm just wanting to know more about Jesus. When you go to, I don't know about today, we haven't been to a Lutheran church in a while, but back then you got a hymnal and you had certain sections of the hymnal that had the service, you know, in it. So everybody in the hymnals, bless them, or, you know, so you go through all that. And of course, when the hymns were being sung, you know, a mighty fortress is our God. You know, I'd be looking around. You know, did I see any smiles? No, there wasn't any smiles that I could see. And so the desire kept on. What is this all about? I'm reading the Word from 8 years old up, seeing. You can't help but see joy. You can't help but see, you know, action. You can't help but see, you know, change. You know, and I just see none of that. So when I married Lori, she had a very precious aunt, and her name was Dawn. Now, Aunt Dawn, I think, was like maybe just 2 years older than you. And so they were like sisters. And so Aunt Dawn asked Lori if Aunt Dawn was making a move to her Uncle Wayne's house in Winona Lake, Indiana. Now, Uncle Wayne was very special to us also. He was a man who could come up to you, and he'd sit down, like maybe the crystal there, and he'd start talking to you. And you would think that he just loved you. I mean, because he would maybe ask you questions, how you doing, you know, what you doing. I mean, he would find out everything about you, you know, just like that, and give you advice if you needed it. He just was a great man to be around. I loved being around Uncle Wayne. But Uncle Wayne moved to Winona Lake, Indiana, and had a discipleship house. Now, back in the 70s, that was really close to the time of Jim Jones, who ended up doing some weird things and taking people to Guyana and all this weird stuff. So, you know, a discipleship house, what is that? So Dawn was moving into Aunt Wayne's house, to the discipleship house, and there was a guy named Len, Richard, Dave, and a guy named Tom. And those four guys went up to Grace College at the time. They're Grace Seminaries in Winona Lake, Indiana, and Grace College. So they were all going to college, and Dawn wanted to join a discipleship group. So we're just going, wow, what is that? You know, what is that? Well, Dawn needed some furniture from her dad's house. So she asked Laura if we would do it. Oh, yeah, we had a pickup. Let's do it. So we loaded the stuff in the pickup, and we went down to Indiana. They, again, great, you know, Uncle Wayne and Annie Lane, they gave up their room for us. I don't know where they slept. I can't remember if they had another room or not. They had a pretty big house to have a discipleship house. And so I was eager to end up going to church, you know, because Uncle Wayne was very active in Lori's life and telling her about Jesus at a young age. And so I was, you know, kind of curious about the discipleship house and looking forward to Sunday morning meeting, okay? So we go to church Sunday morning, or we're getting ready, we go to church, and we walk in the door, and the first person that meets me goes, "Isn't it great to know Jesus?" And then the next person says, "Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?" And that just went on with the people we met. And I thought, whoa, I was taken by the life that was in this group. And it was, you know, you didn't mention Jesus until Sunday, and maybe just by reading it, you know. And there was people here, you know, mentioning Jesus. So having that desire, that really crazy to know him, I'm going, yeah, I think this is it, you know. So, and then they had a thing called open ministry, where the believing brothers had time, they were encouraged to share short testimonies that God had been working on them throughout the week. And, you know, there's young men and older men standing up and sharing short testimonies, and I'm going, wow, there's a life here. So that Sunday, we were going to go home. This was a five-hour job, something like drive from our home to there. So we were going to eat supper with them. And Wayne was talking to us again, you know, finding out about what we were doing, how we were doing again. And we were talking about church. It's lifeless. And he says, well, don't be afraid to move if it's not working for you. Well, right away when he said that, and I didn't say anything, but right away in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he's asking us to move down here. But really what he was saying was, you know, there's other churches, you know, go ahead. But I took it as I wanted to go there. So that began me working on my wife. So I spent about 3 or 4 months probably asking her every day, Lori, let's go to Indiana. She would not get mad at me. She would just say a nice no, you know, no, no. And it wasn't, no, you're crazy or anything. It was just no. So she kept on saying no. I kept asking. And I was working at a kind of a trim plant. We made steel products for a bunch of companies and wasn't making a whole lot of money. And I got a new job at Mueller Brass, an extrusion factory. Extruding copper pipes, and but it was a afternoon shift, so I went there. I start working afternoons, and you know, I grew up on a farm, and this other place we worked during the day. I wasn't used to working at night. I didn't like it at all, and my wife didn't like it at all either. But I think that was a little push, because I asked her again one time. She says yes. Whoa, yes, she wanted to move. So we moved. We called up Uncle Wayne, said, Uncle Wayne, we're coming down. Okay, can we stay at your house? Sure. So we went down, we packed up. I gave him a 2 weeks notice to the place, and off we went to Indiana. They let us stay there for a couple days, and then, of course, then we got an apartment. Okay, but anyways, there is where I found salvation. There is where I found out that I could have a personal relationship with Christ. I didn't need to go through someone. I didn't need to have the pastor forgive me my sins. I was his child, and I could come to him, and I could have my sins forgiven. I could talk to him, and it was a life. So there is where the joy of salvation comes. I mean, when you first come to know the Lord, all the experience of that is the joy that we have. We have a relationship with God, and it's not just knowing. It's more than head knowledge now. And what happens, the greatest thing that, well, one of the greatest things that happens is now I really believe my sins are forgiven, because I really know the gospel message. And I'd like to share a psalm, Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make known wisdom, make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. When you come to that realization that His blood, His death paid for your sins, it's an overwhelming thing. And it's still overwhelming when it touches me. And because that is so what I need is forgiveness of sins, along with that personal walk and all that we've been talking about. So God is drawing me, okay? The work of the Holy Spirit is working on me. Jesus told His disciples when he left, He was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to be a helper, okay? He's going to be a teacher. He's going to help you remember things that He told them. And He was doing that already in my life. He was definitely helping me. He was teaching me. He was moving me and directing me. And even today, it is the Holy Spirit that prompts verses out of my heart that I've memorized or learned. We need to hide that word in our heart so the Holy Spirit can use it in our life. Don't think it's going to be a magical thing where this book just jumps in and you know it all. And a lot of the verses I know, for instance, my wife was memorizing the book of James. And just by her reciting back to me and me checking her, well, I got all these verses in my heart because now I know them. Now they're in there. And the Holy Spirit uses those verses a lot to bring them out for things that are happening. But along the way, as we know, we run into doubt. Okay? It's inevitable. We start doubting God, or we start doubting the things. The world starts wearing on us. And Lori and I call this, for 6.5 years, we ran from God. And so we ended up going back home and just becoming regular old crazy people. Oh, yeah, Sarah, yeah. Yeah, we had Sarah that time, and yeah, poor girl. She had to go through those 6.5 years. So doubt can come in different ways. Things that happen to us can cause doubt. Things happen to us. We went on a church plant before we came home, and all this kind of ended at that time. I think we were really too young in the Lord to be on the church plant in Muncie, Indiana. Went to Muncie, Indiana, the Ball State. And we ended up train wrecking there and coming home. So things that happen to you or me can start to cause doubt. Now I can, as her memorizing James, I can pull that verse, James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials and tribulation, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result in you in righteousness. So I can pull that verse out now and say, yes, Lord, I'm growing. You're growing me. I don't like it, but this is good. Things that we do can cause guilt. We hold on to things that just cause guilt. Guilt causes doubt. Because we try to, we are living in a way going, well, God, I don't really think that I can have this full blessing of yours because I haven't really given this up. So guilt can cause us to run along with things that happen to us. I don't know how many people say, well, the pastor had an affair with someone and we're never going to church again. Okay, there's something happened to them through that. Well, if you're just looking at some person, then that you need to get something different going on there. So guilt can cause it. And I think with the guilt, and I've learned this just kind of recently. I've known this verse for a long time, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and return, in order that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord. So I've learned that the word repent, though, is an action word. Okay. We ask forgiveness of sins. We do that. Okay. But the repenting is we work at not doing it again. When you truly repent, you decide, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore and I'm going to work at it. It's going to be hard. Okay. It's something like the person who needs to go to rehab to get off of heroin or anything else, whatever it might be, hydrocodone, heroin, alcohol. You have to determine you're going to do it, and it's going to hurt. And you're going to do it, and you're going to do it. You're not going to do it. Or you're not going to take it anymore. You go through the rehab, go through all the pain hurt in the brain and the things, and finally you come out refreshed. And that's what repenting is all about. It's work. It's not easy. But times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So if you got something that's really, you're really keeping in you, okay, it might be something really small, it might be something really big, but it stops you and hinders you from really having a refreshing time with the Lord. Work at it. Really work at it. Decide you're going to do it. People say it, you know, just in the little things you try to do, 6 weeks, it becomes a habit, or you lose the habit. So you can lose a sin by working at it. Okay? You need to continue to believe in God's word that God has forgiven you or God will forgive you. I don't know how many people I've met who say, well, I've sinned too much. Okay? What you're actually saying is Jesus' blood ain't good enough. Ain't good enough for me. I've sinned too much. No. The power in the blood. Wonderful power in the blood. The sin, your sin will be forgiven. If you confess with your mouth, if you confess your sins, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So don't believe that lie. That lie will keep you in a cage and you won't be able to get out until you have that faith again that he has forgiven my sins. I mean, it's multiple verses. He's taken them, he's far as the east is from the west, he's got rid of them. He's, you don't remember them anymore. He's forgiven you. Don't get into that rut. And I think Satan is the one of those ones that work on us in that area. I don't know how many times I've heard his voice. No, he ain't going to forgive you. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will forgive me. Even if I don't practice that repent where I'm working on not getting rid of it, he's still forgiving me. He's still going to work on me. So don't get into that lie where you can't be forgiven. Well, we have a lot of doubt. 6.5 years we're living. Now, don't get me wrong. We didn't lose our belief in God. We weren't terrible, terribly weird things. We never went to church and, just stopped believing or following him. But God has a way of changing that. And he'll give us spankings. And we talked about that this morning in Proverbs, where a father who loves his children will discipline him. And the spanking I'll never forget from the Lord, which started kind of my basic of getting back with him, was I grew up on a farm. My job, being the youngest, was to get the cows. It's Tim, go get the cows. Okay, if it's raining, I don't care what it is, Tim, you're going to get the cows. Now, that isn't just walking out, to the barn and 5 feet from the barn. We're talking back 40, the cows are hiding in the swamp or they're in the gravel pit. So you got to go find the cows. Well, in them findings, many neat things happen to you. You experience lightning hitting the ground here and there. And the neat thing, you experience rain. You're walking down a path to go to the woods to find the cows. And over here in the cornfield, it's raining. And you're just walking, by it. And it's not raining where you are. I mean, just neat things you see. Well, my dad retired, so we bought the 10 acres of the farm and the farmhouse. The roof needed to be shingled. So Lori's brother, Jim, was going to come help me. So I got out there in the morning. Now this is, you know, after six some years, I mean, we've never gone to church. I don't think I probably prayed, I don't know, maybe not even at all during that time. I got up on the roof and I'm, you know, taking the shingles off. And I said, this is what I said. God, don't let it rain. That was it. That's all I said. I didn't say amen. I didn't say anything. Just that. God, don't let it rain. So I'm up there on the roof and yeah, something caught my eye out in the west. And it's kind of a dark spot out there. Well, I'm, you know, still working, I got to get these shingles off and in. Hopefully Jim's, you know, her brother's coming and we're going to get this tar paper on here and I'll feel better. Well, by the time Jim got there, that dark spot, which was only probably maybe a mile in diameter, had reached the house. And I think I had maybe a roll of tar paper on there. And, of course, Jim ran up there. And by the time he got up there and we got two more rolls of tar paper on, I mean, it just like flood rain. I mean, just in that mile area, though, I might remind you. It could have missed us easily, but it came down. Now, my house, I noticed when I tore off the shingles, there was quite a gap in between the boards. It was hardwood boards, a good roof, but it was actually boards, 1x12s. But it was, there was gaps, and it just poured. And I'm kneeling, trying to staple the tar paper, and Jim's, or I'm holding the tar paper. Her brother's over me trying to staple it. And, of course, tar paper, when it gets wet, is very slippery. So off we went, down the roof. And, of course, he was behind me, so he hit the ground first, and I landed on top of him. And thankfully, you know, we laid there for a minute. None of us was hurt. But I got up, and I walked into the house. And on this side of the house where we had the shingles off, in the door jams, all the door jams, it looked like, you ever seen those beaded curtains that people put in doorways? Well, this was water flowing down. I mean, you could see through it. I mean, it was like a curtain of water flowing down through the door jams. And then the light fixture in the dining room was like a fountain. And water was flowing out of that thing. And I looked at that and I says, I'm going to go get drunk. I mean, it was a mess. But you know what? I never did go get drunk. We cleaned it up. It stopped raining. We went up and finished putting the tar paper on. And I realized that it was a spanking. It was a good spanking the Lord gave me. After that, when I was coming home from work, I started arguing with God. And my last argument was this. I said, God, you know, James, John, Peter, they were right there with you. They listened to you. You walked with them. They've seen your miracles. You know, Paul, you knocked him off his horse. You know, and bright light and everything. You know, do something like that for me, and I'll follow you. And this little voice came in my mind or said to me, he said, you know, you are my child. That's all it said. All he said to me, and I said, yes, Lord, I know. I'm just wanting to keep this sin. I want to keep the sin, and the sin was keeping me from following him. And he says, you know, you are my son. That's all he had to say. I said, yes, Lord. And I broke down crying, and I determined. Now, this is like 3:30 in the morning, so my shift was like, I don't know what time I started, but I got off really early in the morning. So I'm out there in front of my car arguing with God, and this all happens. So I'm going, you know what? I want to get back going to church. So I get up in the morning, and this has always happened to Lori and I throughout our marriage. I got up and I said, Lori, I says, when I got to see her that day, I says, I want to go back to church. And she says, you know, I've been thinking about that too. And the Lord always works on us in that same way. And that's always been a neat part of our lives. And so we ended up going back to church. So we ended up starting to grow. And I want to share a verse out of Psalms again. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. So even through all this, and I had to explain this to a guy at work, as in those 6 years, he seen me dancing on bar tables and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And then all of a sudden, here's Tim coming back to work, and he's got verses written on his toolbox, and his thing was, well, what about, you know, all those years? You know, what about those years? I said, well, God was still my father all those years, and he brought me back to him. And that's just what he did. He continued to hold my hand, and before I did that headlong plunge, which we've all done with our toddlers, you know, walking down the sidewalk, and what do? They, you know, ooh, you grab them because they're going right for the pavement. And I think, and I believe in that time where we were arguing, I did feel that headlong plunge coming if I let go of his hand. I felt that, like, I want that hand, because I feared not having that, what I would do without that hand. And that's a fearful thing. Not that God didn't love me anymore, but I was going to get a discipline I didn't really want. So he holds our hands, and he keeps us growing and to make sure we don't go headlong. I thank him for that. So then after growing comes the part where finally we find out we abide in him. And there's many books, discipleship books, abiding in him, explaining to you how to abide in him. And it needs to be explained. I mean, it's hard. How do you abide in Jesus? And it's just a matter of spending time in his word, spending time praying with him, spending time doing all the things the word talks about. So the Gospel of John in chapter 15, the first 10 verses talk about, I mean, they just talk about abiding in him. John like talks a lot about abiding in him. Let me read that. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And obviously, we were not abiding in Christ those 6 years. We weren't bearing any fruit. And it's just as simple as that. I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So actually, he's talking there about just about everything, what he has taught. Spending time with him. Spending time in the word. Learning what his desires are. And spending time in those desires. And the thing that happens in verse 11 is this. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So guess what? I'm going back to the joy of salvation. He's given me joy. He's given me a joy that I haven't lost since that day. He's given me confidence that Satan can tell me all he wants that I can't be forgiven, and it doesn't work anymore. Because I have that, I'm abiding in him. First thing we sought out was a church that preached the word of God and was alive. continuing to read the Word, continuing to study, and continuing to spend time with Him. Perfectly? No. But the joy, and there's a difference. We have all heard the difference between joy and happy. I'm more joyous than I am happy. I am just full of joy. And that joy can be made full in us. And I think that is what's so special, is that joy being made full in us. Well, I would like to take a moment before we turn it over to the praise group. And I know this is kind of unexpected, but does anybody want to take a moment and just give a testimony to the Lord publicly? This happens in a lot of churches where you're given time to just say thank you, Lord. Or anybody want to take a moment?
I'd like to give a quick testimony for those of you who do not know. We could take about 3 hours and talk about the testimony that is my life. There's a lot of time where I was just riding the fence, and I still have those doubts. Like, what if the things that I've done in my life, what if I haven't been forgiven of those? What if I'm not really saved? What if, like, I still have those doubts, and God does not give us that spirit of doubt. And it's terrible to still wonder after 20 something years that happened. I mean, how can that still be an issue? And it's just constantly a Satan attack. But the thing that I did want to share and just give God the glory for is, most of you guys know that I have 3 children. 2 of them so far have already had cancer, and 1 of them has a second, and I've had it, and so many people in my family have had it, and God has brought us through it all. We're still here. Even through the fear and the doubt and the I even felt like God was bullying me because there were so many things happened. God's not a bully. Yeah. But in that human nature, with that human nature that I have, you're thinking, why am I being punished? You know what? Maybe that was God spanking. Maybe that was God telling me, you know what? You need to fix yourself. Or just showing how much strength that He can give. And that is a testimony that I can share with people, because God has been in my life, and I'm better for it.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.